Welcome to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.
Today, we're going to be talking with Dr. Tracy Rutherford Self and Dr. Darcy Davis Gage. Dr. Tracy has been on the podcast with us before, but Dr. Darcy is new. She recently came to Mankato from Northwest Iowa to be the director of Minnesota State Mankato's Center for Rural Behavioral Health. So, Darcy and Tracy, thank you so much for being on with us today. Why don't we start with you both telling us a little about yourselves and what you do?
I came to recently came to Minnesota State from Iowa, and am the new center director for the center. I hope you can edit this.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that too. We can edit things.
It's a rough start.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, I'll just start over.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Darcy, and I recently moved from Iowa up to Minnesota to be the director for the Center for Rural Behavioral Health at Minn State, and I'm very excited to do that. I originally grew up in eastern Iowa on a hog farm, and so rural has always been part of my roots, and I'm really excited to be back and working with folks from the rural areas, and so I'm really excited.
Okay,
I'll pass
great.
It to Tracy.
And hi, I'm Tracy. I am an associate professor at Minnesota State in the Counseling and Student Personnel Department. And this is my fifth year at Minnesota State, and I am absolutely loving Minnesota. My background is I grew up a coal miner's daughter in West Virginia who met and married a man who was in love with agriculture and moved me to the upper Midwest. Shortly after we got married, and lived in rural Iowa for about 25 years before I came to Minnesota.
Okay, great. And now you both are, you know, your degrees are in mental health. You're both working and teaching in mental health, and you're both counselors too, right? You do actively
Correct.
Counseling. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. And so now, you know, the Center for Rural Behavioral Health has been doing a lot of exciting things since it got started in the last couple of years. But now you're about ready to open a clinic, a mental health clinic. And so why don't we talk about that a little? When is that opening?
We'll be having a ribbon cutting ceremony in later in January. And we'll be doing that with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota, made a very generous donation. So with their help, we've been able to get the clinic up and running. We are currently seeing a few clients just as we have interns and kind of to do a soft opening, but we'll officially open towards the end of January, and we'll be seeing a variety of clients, kids, adults, couples, families. We're really open to work with people across the lifespan, so any age. It is a training clinic, and what that means is that we do have students who are finishing up their degrees who will be doing their internships at the center. One benefit of being seen at a training clinic is that it's a very much of a teamed-based approach. And so, you know, they'll be seeing a counselor. We'll also have case managers. We'll be hiring a peer support specialist. And so instead of just, you know, seeing one person, you'll see one person, one therapist, but you'll also have kind of a team behind the scenes that can help with all kinds of, you know, finding resources, connecting in different ways. And so that's kind of the advantage of it being a training clinic.
Okay. And what does it mean to have a clinic like this in greater Minnesota? We've talked a lot in the past about access in rural areas to mental health services. So what does this clinic mean, and what does it kind of symbolize for greater Minnesota?
See, you want to do that one?
I would be happy to take this one. So I think one of the things that the clinic is really focused on is working with populations that might often not feel like they can reach out to counselors. So historically, I've worked in a rural community. I worked in a community of 2,500 people for a very long time. And what's really important when you're working with rural populations is to really be able to work with their strengths. So often people talk about rural communities and how difficult that can be to get them to kind of buy into mental health topics. And that really isn't the case, actually. What most people in rural communities struggle with is finding people they think honestly understand them. And so even going into Mankato from a rural community can present its own challenges for people who may feel like they aren't well understood or may feel like they're going to go in and have an experience that in some ways marginalizes them and makes them feel like they are somehow in the wrong, which is what we've done historically, I think, so often to people in rural communities. So, one of the main benefits I think of this clinic is that we've worked really hard to make sure our students not only often come from rural communities themselves, the students that we have who are at the training clinic who are currently working are coming from those rural areas themselves, so they have an understanding coming into this, but also continuing to grow their competence and their understanding of what it's like being someone coming from a rural community. We know that rural communities tend to, really lean on each other. They're independent, they have an amazing work ethic. And all those things are things our students really want to work with and want to make sure that they're understanding as we have providers or have our providers seeing those particular community members.
Great. And one of the thing, and you mentioned that it's a training clinic. We've talked before about the importance of training students in rural areas to help keep them in rural areas. And what's that importance about, getting the students out there so they can do their internships out there?
What we find is that many times students who come from rural areas will oftentimes return to rural areas if they believe there's opportunity to work in those areas. And so that was part of the part of what was put into the ideas we thought about the training clinic is taking students that are interested in from rural areas, training them with the hopes that they would be interested in going into rural areas. And one of the things I think the clinic is will be doing differently is also the level of outreach. We know that's important to in rural communities, not to be an outsider is to gain the trust of the community and trust of people. That's essential in getting people to even come visit the clinic. So our students will be engaged in a variety of outreach activities, and so people can get to know them outside the office, which we believe is a really important part of that, and as well as the senior staff will be doing that same thing, so that we really look at providing services in a possibly a different format. Sometimes coming in for a 50-minute session once a week does not work for folks for a variety of reasons in rural communities. So, we've talked about how can we offer that differently? What could we do differently? How can we reach the community? So we're willing to really look at our structure and create different opportunities to get services besides just the traditional way mental health has been offered.
Great. Okay. And that kind of leads into my next question, which is, a lot of people in southern Minnesota would look at Mankato and say, well, Mankato isn't rural, So, are there plans for now or for later for some of that outreach to be getting out to people in communities outside of Mankato so they don't have to come into Mankato?
Yeah, I think we're actually already doing that on some levels. So, like one of our student interns was in Le Sueur County quite a bit this last semester, kind of building some relationships there within the context of the community. But, we really believe this is something you take to people, that you don't wait, again, as Darcy said, for people to show up on your doorstep. You go there. So there's a lot of opportunities for us and for our trainees to be able to kind of embed in other areas of the community. So while this is, just the start of where we are and what we hope to do from a clinic perspective, we've discussed ideas like going out and having programs or meetings maybe in the local library or working with local doctor's offices to embed a provider one day a week. So we think we have a lot of opportunity to continue to grow and to meet people where they are. I think, Marty, you kind of hinted at this, but when I've worked with people in rural areas, one of the real challenges is getting to the space. So it's great that we have a space in Mankato. I think that that will actually work well for some people, particularly people who are sometimes a little unclear if they want to be seen in the context of their community. When I was working in my rural community, I often got asked, "Do you have a back door?" Or, "I'm going to park a couple of blocks away because I'm not sure if I want everybody in the community to know." So that's an advantage to having a community in Mankato that specializes in rural populations, is that you can retain some of that anonymity that might be harder to do in the context of your community. And simultaneously, one of the challenges is people coming to Mankato may have to take a great deal of time off to do that. They could be traveling, and some do, from an hour or so away in order to be able to be seen by someone. Well, if you're traveling an hour, you have a session that's traditionally an hour, and yeah, we're looking at other opportunities, and then you just travel straight back home. Well, you're already at half a day, and that's a big commitment from a time perspective for people to make. And so we certainly, and I think this is important, don't want to compete with other providers who are already in the communities. We don't want to compete with providers in Mankato. We think what we are offering is frankly substantially different enough that we can complement other providers who may already be either directly in the community, who may be struggling to see their caseload, or with even people in Mankato who may decide that, hey, this may be a better fit for your particular, what you're offering and for what opportunities are there. So I think that complementary component is really important, as well as the we want to embed in communities and not expect people to necessarily have to come to us if that isn't what works best for them.
That's really interesting. Yeah, there's so much more to this than you think of on the surface, just creating access for people. One of the things that I know you guys have talked about that you're doing with the students already before the clinic has even opened is you've been going down to the Children's Museum of Southern Minnesota in Mankato. And so what's going on there?
So we just finished that up this semester, and that was such an amazing opportunity for us and something we hope we can continue into next year. So it's based kind of semester on semester right now. And what was really interesting about that was the analogy we were able to draw from where rural communities are with where the Children's Museum is. So the Children's Museum is its own little environment, and it kind of functions in much the same way a rural community would, where you kind of have the same people showing up. We're getting to know them on a family level. So it's not a cold, you come in, you're starting to meet people. It's we're developing relationships with the families and with the kids, which we hope really then translates into being able to more comfortably access our services. We know for many people, the first time you make a call to a mental health clinic can be a little overwhelming. People often are a little unsure, and what's it going to be like? And what are the people going to be like? So being able to work with that at the Children's Museum and hoping that then translates into being able to see more kiddos. And have them come in if they are in need of some other services. And what ultimately I think happened at the Children's Museum, at least I hope it was that we normalized what mental health can look like. Because normalizing it, making it not seem quite so overwhelming, not quite even so clinical. I mean, we refer to the clinic, which makes it sound like, lab coats and lab tests. And it really, what we want to do is create that warm environment, that welcoming, hey, come chat with us. We think that there are some things we can offer that can be really helpful for you. And the Children's Museum was an amazing opportunity to start because not only do they serve Mankato, they serve areas outside of Mankato. People come from a long distance to come to the Children's Museum, and it's such a fabulous environment down there that I couldn't recommend it enough for people who have kiddos or who are wanting to maybe access some additional resources. But it was really a great opportunity for us to just sort of see both our trainees change from the time they started that process to the end, but also getting feedback from staff about how we influence the environment down there. Some of the positives that they shared with us was just the change in demeanor that some of the kiddos who might normally, struggle a little bit more, we were able to kind of work with those kiddos just to kind of help them co-regulate and help them kind of come back to, okay, it's a little bit much because it can be overstimulating for them, or the day they had at school might have been a long day. And then having our students go down and just sort of have some one-on-one time with them, that alone is enough to create some change.
Anything?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead,
Oh,
Darcy.
I was just going to say, I think watching the students, we had them do activities, like an activity to start with. And so I think that hands-on piece was also really important, which is, and we know it's important for kids, but sometimes even adults having something to do while talking is a little bit easier than just face-to-face talking about some serious things. So it was a great way to a reason to come up and interact with the students. And then it was a very natural segue into talking and getting to know and build those relationships.
That's so exciting, and that just makes that direct connection right back to the clinic when that opens. And maybe you'll are you going to continue with that relationship with the Children's Museum?
So we anticipate continuing with it. I need
Okay.
to go back and have a meeting and sort of, we want to know what was the most effective, what we can do better, but our goal is to continue that relationship. They have some of the most amazing staff down there who are very excited, I think, about finding ways to partner. And so we certainly plan to continue that. What exactly it will look like with the opening of the clinic, that's where we're all trying to figure out what our next steps are.
Okay. And I think related to that, what's exciting too is that the clinic is going to be see you're going to be seeing children at the clinic. I think there's such a worry that, we don't have enough mental health care for adults, and there's even less for children. So so that's all part of the program there too, right?
We
Yeah.
actually excuse me, have a play therapy room and expressive art room so that we have so we can provide play therapy and expressive art therapy, which is ideal for kids. And that's through some of the donations, it's made us possible to create that space, which we think is really, really important when we're working with younger folks.
So, anything else about the clinic before I ask about research that's going on at the center?
I can't think
Have
of
we
anything.
covered everything? Okay, so we need to watch for that opening in late January, right?
Right.
Okay.
Can I add one thing? I just
Sure.
sometimes think this is really important because sometimes, as we're talking about working with our students, I just think it's really important for people to understand that one of the big benefits with working with students is their freshness and in coming into the field. They often are on the cutting edge of what techniques are available in a way that others simply may not be. And so sometimes I think we look at the idea of students as being potentially detrimental, but the reality is they really have gotten the most up-to-date training and they're being extensively supervised by clinic staff who make sure they are providing the best possible care. So I always think it's just important to understand that, training is actually a really good thing. It just gives so many innovative opportunities that may not otherwise exist.
Yeah, and they have the energy and they're excited to be there. Yeah, that's great. So, what kind of what research is on the docket now for the center?
Well, one of the projects that we kind of alluded to, and we're working on a grant, is embedded providers. And so we had some research that was done last year, over the last year, that was looked at embedded providers in athletics. And we used that kind of information to really inform our thoughts about how do we make embedded practice happen, where do we do it? And so we have a planning grant right now we're working on that is kind of assessing it. Through that grant, we developed a couple new sites of sites that are integrated behavioral health. And so we're looking at what is happening with those sites. We're doing a survey to look at what providers in this area are have embedded behavioral health providers. And that's a kind of a stair stepping to what we hope to that we hope that informs our practice as to how we might do that at the clinic. And so that's one of the projects that we are currently working on.
I'm going to hit on the anchor members one because it's one of my favorites. So, we've had the joy, all three of us, of getting to work together on some capacity, and we're going to continue that partnership. And so, one of the things that Darcy and I have been working on, and we've chatted with Marnie about, is this idea of a tiered system of support model that we think happens in rural communities. That really is an incredible strength in those communities. So community members tend to rely on other community members for their support. And that's amazing. But one of the things that we think could really be beneficial is that if we're really intentional about training some of those community members. So for Darcy and I, we are working with some of the anchor members in those communities, and that's our first responders, to help them with their own kind of ideas about how they assist in mental health crises, how they work on suicidal crises, particularly, as well as hoping to give them the benefit of working within the context of their own mental health needs that may arise through the course of a job that can be incredibly stressful. So we've had an opportunity to start that project here in Minnesota. Darcy's been really working towards that a lot in Iowa. And I think there's just many opportunities for us to continue to grow the available workforce, not from necessarily just a counseling perspective or social work perspective. We still see those as being amazing roles. And yet, we also recognize right now there is a shortage of providers in those areas. But we want to work with the people who are already there, the people who are boots on the ground, who are already providing some of those services informally to make sure they feel equipped to be able to continue to provide some assistance. And then to know when maybe this gets to a point to where we need to make a referral to a mental health counselor or a social worker or a psychologist in the community. What we know is one of the most effective ways to get someone into my office, if I'm a rural provider, is through a warm handoff. So a warm handoff is basically, hey, I know the coach at the local high school, and the coach at the local high school, we're going to call him Mr. Jones, has this kiddo they've been working with, and the kiddo is maybe struggling with some depression, maybe even some thoughts of suicide. And if Mr. Jones is like, hey, maybe we should go and make an appointment with my friend Tracy. She sees people here. And he knows that maybe it's beyond his skill at that point in time, and that's where it happens. But the truth is, most people are going to go to their Mr. Jones first before they call me. So we want to get people to the point to where they feel like, hey, I can start this process. I can start this work. And after I've started it, if I feel like they need more help than maybe I can provide at this point in time, that there's a way to give it to them in a way that feels authentic and feels honoring to their process.
And I've seen that. I've worked with first responders in Iowa for the past few years and have really seen that take a hold in training first responders in a variety of peer support skills. And really, as the mental health counselor, I'm in the background many times and they're kind of on the front lines talking to people. They're already the people, like Tracy said, that others go to. And so sometimes they call me and say, we need to get this person into somebody. But many times they just call and say, this is what I did. I'm checking in. It felt like, this was helpful. I just wanted to, you just had a couple questions for you. And so it really allows those peer services to happen. And then as clinicians kind of be in the background. So we see that as a important part of the clinic as well, is being helping those community members that are that we train to connect with the clinic, but in a slightly different way. And so we think that that will offer more opportunities and really tap into the resources that folks are already comfortable using.
That's really exciting. Because I've found over the years, my years at the center here, that a lot of times the solutions to things in rural areas just don't come from the top down for various, many different reasons. And they really are more effective when they come from the bottom up. And that's exactly what you guys are talking about. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to continuing to work with you on that, and to see what see what you come up with.
And I'm going to bring up at least one more other project that I'm really excited about, which isn't going to be direct with rural community members. It's a little more indirect, but it's the whole pipeline question of how do we continue to get more providers into the community. And so, Marnie, we're really excited to get to work with you on another project this evening, looking at pay parity issues. So we know one of the things that really prevents people from being able to be in a community, continue to provide services, is a lack of pay parity that we have at the mental health level. So we want to start taking some steps to see how we can eradicate that issue and how we can work to provide better pay parity that may come through working with individual providers, private practices, but may also come with, again, continuing to embed practitioners into the local medical facilities. It's actually one of the things that the federal government has suggested may help with pay parity, is if we can start bundling some of those services in the context of a medical community. But we need to get more ideas from the people who are already in those communities and working. I have a great deal of experience in my particular community, but I need to know what happens in different pockets and different populations around the state. So it's great if I know my community, but if I don't understand what's happening in Northwest Minnesota, then I really have an incomplete picture. So as we start to look at this, we're definitely going to be talking to providers who are already there, who are providing those services, seeing what their struggles are, what's difficult, what are the challenges that are facing them. Sometimes those challenges come in the form of insurance companies and being able to be credentialed with them. Some of them come in the form of, looking at individuals who may have varying types of medical insurance and varying abilities to pay. So, how can we kind of start to bridge some of those gaps in the context of communities in order to be able to put more providers in those areas in a way that's sustainable?
And that spurred a thought in mind too of one of the things that we're doing at the center is continuing some work kind of related to the pipeline of getting more people trained is starting at the high school and even middle school level to spur some interest in the behavioral healthcare field. Oftentimes it's a rather found career. So sometimes going into college, people aren't aware of the behavioral health careers or kind of how to tap into those. And so we are starting to do more education, working at kind of increasing our programming and looking at how can we explain behavioral health care and to younger folks as far as a career option, and what does that look like? How can people work in the behavioral health care field, even maybe out of high school or at community colleges? And so talking about different ways of working as peer support specialist or a substance abuse alcohol and drug counselor. And so what are the different levels that they can get involved in as they matriculate through? Or maybe if just going to 2 years of school, what can I do in the field with 2 years of schooling? Kind of with the idea of similar to how nursing is kind of stacked, you can do a CNA, you can do an LPN, you can do an RN, kind of that type of framework to help students start to understand that there's different ways you can get involved in behavioral health that doesn't necessarily require a graduate degree, for instance. And so we hope to be developing some programming and going into the schools to provide that programming with training some of our students to provide that information. Research shows that students respond to what they call near peers, so having kids closer to their age. And so the idea is training our students to go in and to provide this programming in rural areas, but then also, doing that in the morning in the school, but then allowing the students to maybe tour behavioral health care facilities in that rural community and talk to community members. So not only are we providing some of that information to school age kids, but then the community can work to possibly recruit or teach the facilitators, our students, about their rural community. So it's a really a good model of kind of that dual purpose of introducing the concept and then introducing students to all the various rural communities. And so I'm really excited to starting to put that program together and collect data on that, as we will be probably doing that over the next year.
That's great because we've done research that shows that that kind of approach of, getting the kids familiar with the career and talking to them multiple times really helps them, latch onto it and think that's something I could do. Well, this has been great. I'm so glad you were able to come on and talk about the clinic and all the other exciting stuff that's going on at the center. So I just wanted to recap that we've had Dr. Tracy Rutherford Self and Dr. Darcy Davis Gage on from the Center for Rural Behavioral Health at the, or I should say, the Blue Cross Blue Shield Center for Rural Behavioral Health at Minnesota State Mankato. And thank you so much for being on, and we will have you on again soon, I'm sure.
You've been listening to the Center of Everywhere podcast, where we explore stories of rural Minnesotans who are making a difference in their communities. Rural isn't in the middle of nowhere. It is in the center of everywhere.